When we withdraw our gaze from its egoistic preoccupation with limited and fleeting interests and look upon the world with dispassionate and curious eyes that search only for the truth, our first result is the perception of a boundless energy of infinite existence, infinite movement, infinite activity, pouring itself out in limitless space, in eternal time, an existence that surpasses infinitely our ego, or any ego, or any collectivity of egos, in whose balance the grandiose products of eons are but the dust of a moment, and in whose incalculable sum numberless myriads count only as a petty swarm. We instinctively act and feel and view our life thoughts as if this stupendous world movement were at work around us as center and for our benefit, for our help or harm, or as if the justification of our egoistic cravings, emotions, ideas, standards were its proper business, even as they are our own chief concern. When we begin to see, we perceive that it exists for itself, not for us, has its own gigantic aims, its own complex and boundless idea, its own vast desire or delight that it seeks to fulfill, its own immense and formidable standards, which look down as if with an indulgent and ironic smile at the pettiness of ours. And yet, let us not swing over to the other extreme and form too positive an idea of our own insignificance. That too would be an act of ignorance and the shutting of our eyes to the great facts of the universe. For this boundless movement does not regard us as unimportant to it. Science reveals to us how minute is the care, how cunning the device, how intense the absorption it bestows upon the smallest of its works, even as on the largest. This mighty energy is an equal and impartial mother, Samam Brahma, in the great term of the Gita, and its intensity and force of movement is the same in the formation and upholding of a system of suns and the organization of the life of an anthill. It is the illusion of size, of quantity, that induces us to look on the one as great, the other as petty. If you look on the contrary, not as mass of quantity, but force of quality, we shall say that the ant is greater than the solar system it inhabits, and man greater than all inanimate nature put together. But this again is the illusion of quality. When we go behind and examine only the intensity of the movement, of which quality and quantity are aspects, we realize that this Brahman dwells equally in all existences, equally partaken of by all in its being. We are tempted to say, equally distributed to all in its energy. But this too is an illusion of quantity. Brahman dwells in all, indivisible, yet as if divided and distributed. If you look again with an observing perception, not dominated by intellectual concepts, but informed by intuition and culminating in knowledge by identity, we shall see that the consciousness of this infinite energy is other than our mental consciousness, that it is indivisible and gives not an equal part of itself, but its whole self at one and the same time to the solar system and to the entire. To Brahman there are no whole and parts, but each thing is all itself and benefits by the whole of Brahman. Quality and quantity differ. The self is equal. The form and manner and result of the force of action vary infinitely, but the eternal, primal, infinite energy is the same in all. The force of strength that goes to make the strong man is no whit greater than the force of weakness that goes to make the weak. The energy spent is as great in repression as in expression, in negation as in affirmation, in silence as in sound. Clear so far? Yes?
Here if you can see a little bit of that, but with the avibhaktam
vibhakti. Yes, that's right.
If you can little
light. As I told you, when we were discussing the question of time, we said first of all that time appears to us to be succession of moments. Succession of moments implies before and after. All succession means that there was one moment which was before and the other moment which was after. Therefore there is a division between the before and the after. So it succession of moments seems to us to be a movement of division. Then we saw that behind it there is duration, which is not in itself divided. A duration is not something which is itself divided, because it includes both present, past and future, all of the three moments. But it is capable of being divided according to convenience of our consciousness. Now when we say it is convenient to our consciousness, it means it is not really divided. It depends on the convenience. So therefore, although it is in itself undivided, it is capable of being divided according to our convenience. And even when you divide, it is not really divided. When I say this happened before and this happened after, it is your convenience of consciousness. As I told you, if you take a historical view, then this lecture which is going on is in one continuous present. If you take 50 years to be one division of time, then all that happens in 50 years is one moment, is all present. Therefore, in itself the time is not divided. According to convenience it is distributed. And then we went even beyond the duration and we said there is a reality which is beyond time. Now there the question of division does not arise at all. Now that which is not at all capable of being divided is the real reality. It is the ground of all this. Therefore it is indivisible in itself, which creates a ground of duration which you can divide according to your convenience, but therefore it is not divided in itself. It appears to be distributed but not divided. Is that clear?
That means there is really speaking no past, present and future. If one can go back into the past by way of consciousness, by one's consciousness one remembers the past. So that means the past at least exists so far as the consciousness is there.
You are right.
So that means it is still there.
Absolutely.
It is not past.
Absolutely. It is one moment.
It is one moment.
In that perception, there is a perception in which what you call past is not past there.
Because one is capable of going into that by way of one's consciousness. So it is no past.
That's
it,
right.
It is
there, present. Absolutely, it's present. Absolutely, it is true. That is what Rishi's consciousness says. Nothing is lost. There was a very interesting statement of the mother. Yes, absolutely.
They can go back.
Quite true.
So they're all there in this, and they also say the hands and the feet, which look at the walls and all, is still in the realm. And the Rishis can make them come down also with their will. And they can see all time.
These powers of consciousness are infinite, and you can even relive the past. You can even change the past, which has already occurred. if time is ever present moment, effect also can be changed. You are right, absolutely. Certain things can be completely eliminated. So in any case, then the time looks, from this point of view, to be an ever new moment. An expression which Sri Aurobindo will use in this very chapter is an ever new moment. A duration which is an ever new moment. So that's an expression we shall come to later on.